It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the precious study of the Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? It's a wonderful day. It's wonderful to be able to study the Word of God, know it to be the truth, and enjoy it. So please that you join us today to do that. And today we're studying the book of Philippians, continuing the study as we go verse by verse through the precious Word. Philippians chapter 2, we're going to be reading verse 16 through the 21st verse. So Philippians chapter 2, verse 16 through 21. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, so please come and join us sometime if you'd love to or like to. I'd love to have you. We would love to visit with you and see you, get to know you. If you don't have a church home, come. If you have a church home, be in your church. Be faithful to your church. You know how I feel about the local church. But if you do not have a Bible study on Sunday night or on Wednesday night, we have one here, so please come. It's 7 o'clock here at the church. Church starts at Sunday school at 9:30 and church at 10:35, so just please that you be obedient to what the Lord wants you to do. But it's so important to be in the house of God and studying the Word of God. So if you do not have Bible studies at this time, come and visit with us and in fellowship with us and grow with us. Maybe you'll come to know Jesus, or maybe you already know Jesus and you know the excitement of walking after Him. But you would love to grow with other believers and study the Word. You're welcome to come. Please join us. Now that you have opened your Bibles, I want you to see the Word of God, follow after the Word of God. We're in Philippians chapter 2, beginning to read with the 16th verse. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Jesus Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we begin the study today. Father, I ask you that you would guide and lead us. It's so important that we know the Word of God, that we study the Word of God. It's so important that we do not veer from the truth. If we want your power and your strength, and if we want to be righteous, and if we want to be holy, we must do this through a study of your Word and confirming Scripture with Scripture, that we may know the way and the direction to go. And we can feel your power and your presence in our life as it cleans our life up, as we are saved through your precious Word, as we study it, realize we're a sinner, realize we need to be saved and come by faith to you, and then the Holy Spirit comes to live within us and we begin that precious, sweet walk. I ask, Lord, that you'll just touch every heart that's listening today, that they will be changed. They'll be different after listening to the program because they're closer to you. Now please, Lord Jesus, bless us and use us in a mighty way. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I love this precious Word, and I love studying the Word. As you well know, if you've been around the program or if you've been around the church, you understand the desire I have to teach the Word of God, the desire that I have for you to know the Word of God, that you are faithful to open your Bible. I hope that you attend a church where the Bible is carried. I hope you carry your Bible to church, and I hope that Bible is open in front of you as your preacher is preaching or as the Sunday school teacher is teaching, as they proclaim the Word of God. I hope that you are not one of those that don't even know where your Bible is. You don't remember the last time you opened it. I can't understand how you could even say you're a believer in Jesus Christ, how you can call yourself a Christian if you don't carry the Word of God with you that you know. Is in my business, if you'll ever run into me on the road or out in the field where I'm working, and you look in my truck, you're going to find something, and it's going to be either laying in the middle of the truck, in the middle of the seat, on the little divider, or it'll be over in the passenger seat, and that's my Bible. It's a black King James Bible, the New Testament and the Old, and you open that up and you're going to see scratch marks everywhere, because I love studying the Word of God. When God shows me something, I circle it. And God knows that His Word is important, and you'll never find me without it. And that's out at work. And you sure as a world are never going to catch me without it when I come into the house of God. And if you haven't been carrying your Bible, start it. People look strange to you and wonder what happened to you. Well, maybe you're trying to become godly. The only way to do that is to study His Word. Become righteous. Become holy. Please, that you listen to the Word. We have here a couple of things that I want you to see before we go any further. And that is, we've kind of covered 16. I wanted to read it so we could get started. But in verse 17, it says, "Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith." Let me read that again. "Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all." Now let's look at 18. "For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me." We have two in the very end of verse 17, "I joy and rejoice." Then it says in the end of 18, "Ye joy and rejoice." Now, how do they do that? How do we accomplish a joy in our heart and a rejoicing with our life, with our mouth, with our actions? How can this be? We have it twice again here in the verse 17, "I joy and rejoice." And in verse 18, "Ye joy and rejoice." Now, if you'll look up at the beginning of verse 17, I believe we can tie it all together. If you want to joy, you want the joy in your heart. You know, there's a song like that. I have joy, joy, joy. And you know, if you, and it continues and says, "down in my heart, down in my heart." You have the joy, joy, joy down in my heart. Now, if you'll look at this here, there's only one way that joy can be down in your heart. There's only one way that you can rejoice. Paul says, "And ye, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith." He was willing. Paul was willing to be offered. There was no cost too high. He never thought anything cost too much if it concerned being a witness, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, being Christ-like. The cost was never too high. Now, we got folks today, we got a lot of people today that are afraid of working too much. They are afraid of working too hard in the church. They're afraid that they're doing something and someone else isn't doing as much, and so they quit. Well, that makes them a lazy quitter. And that does not make them godly. It makes them prideful and self-righteous and lazy. Now, there's work to be done in the church. There's work to be done. There's souls to bring to Jesus Christ. And there is a tremendous work that needs to be done in the local church today. But we find reasons. We find excuses. It's somebody else, or it's something within the church that we don't like, and so it keeps us out of the house of God. Well, I'll tell you what, it's one word for it, sin. It's not sin of the other brother, it's your sin. Get in the house of God. If those church doors are open on Sunday morning, and if you can be there, then you be there. If they're open on Sunday night, and you can be there, you be there. If they're open on Wednesday night, and you can be there, then you be there. Never make an excuse. Never sit at home. Never go do something else when you could be in the house of God. And the reason is the joy and the rejoicing that I want you to have in your heart. Now, you can have that, but we have to find out something here at the very beginning of verse 17 that Paul knew. And by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, it's been recorded in His precious Word that each one of us should know it. and that is that he was willing to offer himself as a sacrifice and service. Sacrifice and service. That's two things that I see very clearly in a Christian's life today as a whole, as Christian lives today, that's lacking. They do not want to sacrifice. They do not want to give up any part of their life and their walk of this world, in this world. They do not want to change their lifestyle. They do not want to give up one little thing if it would mean not being able to attend something that's worldly. I don't know what to pick on today, and I don't mean to pick on anything other than I just need to make an example and make it clear to you. But if there is anything that you do and you decide in your mind that you want to go do that, you want to go boating, you want to go golfing, whatever you decide to do, and you know what it is in your life, I don't need to explain it to you, you know what it is, but you're doing that instead of being in the house of God. Maybe it's something you're doing at home. You're instead of coming to Bible study on Sunday night or Wednesday night, you're piddling with something at home. You're working. You got a project going on, so you're working on something at home. And so you just, well, when I get it done, then I'll get back to the house of God. Don't cheat God. Don't steal from God. You better give him your time. Well, you aren't even giving your time. You're not even giving reasonable service. If you're not there Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, you're not given reasonable service, let alone sacrifice. What do you think of when you think of sacrifice? Paul says here that I be offered up on the sacrifice and service. Upon the sacrifice and service. We talked about last week that the sacrifice here is very similar to a Paul is saying, I have poured myself out as a drink offering. And I got another verse of scripture here. It was in Genesis chapter 35, verse 14. And Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, with God, even a pillar of stone. He poured a drink offering thereupon and poured an oil thereupon. And you know, as it's poured upon the sacrifice, it just goes up in vapor, goes up in steam, never to be seen. Oh, that our life would be so hidden in Jesus Christ that people would not see me. A person would not see you, but they would see the power and the glory of God in you. Because of your life, and because of your witness, and because of your testimony. But my friend, you have to be willing to sacrifice your life. You have to be willing to allow your life to be poured out. What area of your life have you sacrificed for Jesus? Now, I'm talking to believers now. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ, now, I talk about the joy and the excitement. I would never, ever consider not being a Christian. And I'm talking about a born-again, blood-bought, Calvary paid for upon the cross of Calvary. I've been bought and paid for by Jesus Christ. He was my sacrifice. Now, when I say He was my sacrifice, what did Jesus give for me? What did Jesus offer for me? How can I call him my sacrifice? Well, if you don't know, let me explain it to you very caringly and as lovingly as I can. He sacrificed his life. He sacrificed and gave up his place in heaven to come down here upon this earth, to take on the body of a man, to confine himself in that body, yet completely God and completely man, and take on that body and live down here for 33 years, never ever once committing a sin. Never once. Jesus was perfect. And he lived this 33 years, and to the end of that 33 years, he went to the cross of Calvary. He died upon Golgotha, they call it the skull. He died upon that hill for me. And he died upon that hill for you. He took every sin that I have ever committed. He took every sin that you have ever committed. And he placed all those sins upon himself. He took the load and the burden of sin, and he died with all those sins upon him. And the Word of God tells us that if you'll repent, if you'll come unto the Lord Jesus, and some very favorite scripture verses I have is in the 10th chapter of Romans. And it says, whosoever confess with thy heart the Lord Jesus. Confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Let me get it clearly for you. Confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart. I love that verse. It's the heart and it's the mouth and it's the mind that you confess your sin to Jesus. That you believe in your heart that Jesus saved you, and you know it because he comes in to live within your heart. Please, that you come, that your sins be forgiven. Whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Face your sin. Know that you're a lost sinner and you need a Savior. Now let's get back to this 17th verse. A sacrifice. That's what Jesus did for me. He sacrificed his life. What have you done for him? Have you trusted in that free gift? Have you come to know Jesus and this gift, this free gift has been handed to you and you have accepted this free gift? Great. Amen. We praise the Lord because you've trusted in Jesus and you're saved. Your sins are forgiven. But so far you haven't sacrificed. So far there's been no service. So far it's been pride and selfishness. I listen. I watch. I know an awful lot of people and I'm around the area an awful lot and I watch the folks in church. I watch my own life. I look at it. And I look at that word and it says sacrifice. What am I willing to sacrifice for Jesus? He sacrificed it all for me. He gave it all for me. What am I willing to do to please my God? Because he's bought me, he's paid for me, and I've trusted in that free gift. Now Paul says that I have poured myself out. I've just been consumed in Jesus. And when people look at me, that the words I speak, Paul says, that they are as if they're listening to Jesus because I have completely been done away with. And the only thing I want people to see is Jesus because I have offered myself unto Jesus. I have poured myself out unto the Lord Jesus that I may be hidden in him, that he may use me. You see the two? We need to begin to sacrifice our lives, our ways of living. We need to be willing to sacrifice everything for Jesus. And when you're willing to sacrifice everything for Jesus, there is no question of what you're doing. You're working. Let's go back to verse 16. I am running. I know I'm not running in vain. I know I've not labored in vain. And if you say I have not run in vain, it means you are running. You are busy. You are working hard for the name of Jesus, for His precious church, for the building of the church of God. Bringing people to Jesus Christ and then bringing those folks into the local church that they may grow together. Instead of that, you're prideful. Many people today that confess to be a Christian is arrogant. They think nothing but themselves. It's so sad to think that they confess to know Jesus Christ and have accepted the perfect sacrifice when we have a man, God, in Jesus Christ that never held one thing back, took all of our sins away, and knew the only way to do that was death upon the cross of Calvary. He did that for you and me, and you won't give Him the time of day. You're arrogant. You're prideful. Will you get rid of that? Will you get down on your knees and ask Jesus to forgive you? Please forgive me. I need to begin to sacrifice. I need to stop judging people and begin to sacrifice unto You. Start taking things away from my life and start giving to the Lord Jesus. And the way you do that, the way we can help in furthering the gospel, in glorifying God, in sacrificing unto the Lord Jesus, is to build up and lift up the brother, help the brother any way we can. It's to bring people to Jesus, to sit down with them and tell them that Jesus saves. To build the church, the local church, whether it be the building or the actual building of the church itself, by bringing lost people unto Jesus and then into the church. And then help them to grow. Don't hinder them. Help them in the leadership of, hey, whether it's a brother or sister that's just been saved, they've just come unto the Lord Jesus, and say, now you need to follow the Lord in baptism. Baptism doesn't save, but baptism is a command of God. Salvation comes by Jesus, faith in Jesus Christ. Turn unto God and He will save you. You turn from your ways. It's a turning. Repent means to turn. Turn unto the Lord and be saved. But begin to help these people grow. Don't hinder them. Your hindrance is not being here. Your hindrance is not telling people about Jesus. Or telling them about Jesus, bringing them to the Lord Jesus, and then not following through with baptism with them, with the study of the Word of God with them. My friends, sacrifice. Let's start giving some of your time. Let's start giving some of your money. I preached on that last week. It's all God's. Every bit of it. How selfish are you to be doing something else other than coming together when the church doors are open? You're giving something else, you're giving somebody else, or some item, or something you're doing that seems to be more important to you when God gave every bit of it to you to start with, and now you're stealing from Him. You're stealing from Him. And you don't even know it. That's where the arrogancy comes in. You're so prideful. You think you're so smart. But if that's what you're doing, and you're hiding from the house of God, and you're hiding from the fellowship with other believers to help, because that's how we can sacrifice in the help of others, building up the church, glorifying the name of Jesus. Work needs to be done. Service. Now let's tie this together. Sacrifice and service. Sacrifice and service. Is that two words that you can say? I'm going to sacrifice my life for Jesus. I am going to serve Jesus with all my life. Can you say those words? Sacrifice and service. Well, if you can say sacrifice and service, then you can say joy and rejoicing. I joy in Jesus Christ. You know why your heart's so dismal and so sad? Why you're so hateful? Why you don't come into the house of God? It's because there's sin in your life. You are not willing today to sacrifice unto the Lord Jesus your life to Him. He sacrificed His for you, to buy you, to pay for you, to keep you, and to give you a home in heaven, an eternal home in the presence of God. And you will not sacrifice your time. You will not sacrifice some item, material item you want, so that you can give to the church or give to the missionary or give to some support that needs to be done somewhere. You just can't quite do it. You're not willing to sacrifice. You're not willing to take the time to serve. To serve God. Anybody that does anything, it seems like when they do it, if they do it for a year, they're ready to quit. I've done my service. No, you haven't. You haven't started. Next year, do twice as much. What's the matter with you? Oh, nobody said thank you. Nobody recognized what I've done. Who cares? Jesus knows what you've done. Jesus understands, and He knows that man's not going to compliment you and recognize you when you're doing something that's of God, and we don't need it. Paul didn't need it. Sacrifice, my friend. And I want you to get those words in your head. I want those words to sink from your head to your heart. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you've come by faith to the Lord Jesus, and you know you're a Christian. It's time to understand that there's a time to begin this walk. And this walk will be slow, but you can continue to give things unto the Lord Jesus. And the first thing He wants you to give is your time. He wants you to be faithful to the house of God. You know how important that I believe the Word of God tells us concerning the local church. And I ask you, I beg you, for the very reason that the beginning of the sacrifice, the service, takes place in the local church and is built in and around the local church. And when you can get that straight, when you have searched the Word of God, you have come into the house of God, you fellowship with other believers, you begin this walk of sacrifice and service, sacrifice and service, sacrifice and service. And then you begin the joy, that constant joy, that relief, that rejoicing that'll just bubble out of you, and people will see it in you. The countenance, and Paul can say, I joy and rejoice with you. And I know for the same reason you joy and rejoice. What is that same reason? That same reason is because they have sacrificed and served. Paul knows there's only one way. He knows there's only one way to have the joy of Jesus. To have the joy of Christ in your life is to sacrifice this life. Pour it out as Paul did, as we have here in the 14th verse that Jacob poured out this drink offering and it just was consumed. Now, we sacrifice. But we sacrifice for the new house, for the new car, for the new truck, for the new boat, for the vacation. What do we sacrifice for? You got something there. You are sacrificing. But there's only one sacrifice that brings joy. There's only one sacrifice and service that brings rejoicing. I'm talking about something that is constant. I'm talking about something that's real. I'm talking about something that's permanent. And that's what you'll find in Jesus. Now sacrifice and serve. My friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?